Gospel of John, chapter 4, verses 1 through 42. Now when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard, Jesus is making and baptizing more disciples than John, although it was not Jesus himself, but his disciples who baptized. He left Judea and started back to Galilee. But he had to go through Samaria, so he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well, and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you speaking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" They left the city and were on their way to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples said to one another, "Surely no one has brought him something to eat." Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. Do you not say, 4 months more, then comes the harvest? But I tell you, look around you and see how the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, 'One sows and another reaps.' I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor." Many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I have ever done." So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there for 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world.
Thank you, Angie. That was indeed very long, of course. She jokingly said she needed a drink of water after that. So, you okay? I'm going to have some of this life water. But the water that Jesus offers sounds even better. Water that will not allow us to go thirsty. There was a Saturday Night Live skit that had the character of Stuart Smalley. Stuart Smalley was a man who had some insecurities himself, but he would have a talk show about having his guest come on the show and telling them these words: you're good enough, you're smart enough, and doggone it, people like you. And he would have them look into a mirror not unlike this that we have here, and repeat after him: you're good enough, you're smart enough, and doggone it, people like you. Let's say it together. You are good enough, you're smart enough, and doggone it, people like you. Don't you feel better already? Now, the irony is that most of those people on Saturday Night Live were stars and celebrities or sports stars. They didn't really need a pep talk. They were already confident individuals themselves. But it was actually Stuart that needed those words for himself. And by helping others, he helped himself. Like it says in our scripture today, that the food that I have is doing the work of God, my Father, as Jesus says. Is that enough to sustain us, to do the work of God, to go about the business of church, to be good people, to follow God's commandments, to love others as God has loved us? Is that sustaining enough for us? Or must we go back to the well to be refilled? I need to be refilled, to have a spiritual renewal. A story, a man, a priest who was in his 40s. He was loved and admired by people for who he wasn't. And the people who didn't like him because of who he wasn't. See, he had a title, he had power, he had the respect of the community, and people either liked that persona or they used it against him. There was one person, though, one person that he met, who he knew, who he became close to, who truly loved him for who he was. And that, he says, redeemed him. That relationship, warts and all, imperfections and all. Somebody who can not only reflect what was good about him, but also his shadow self, as he calls it. What was not so good. Maybe some things that he was not so proud of in his past. Those things that he did or said or before he became a priest. All those things he could share with this person. That was his most meaningful relationship. Those who loved or hated him for who he wasn't, not for who he was, but for who he wasn't, they were mirroring their own insecurities, like Stuart Smalley. They were mirroring their own projections of what they thought he should be, of how he should act, and what he should say. And he found out that good people mirror the goodness in others. Because they are mature people, they don't have those insecurities, those projections that they put on other people. They are not confused. Those are the people that can deal with the real you. Those are the people that you should hang on to in life. Those are the people that will truly help you grow. Those are our true friends in life. What about that woman in the well? When she went to the well every day to get the water for her household, what did she see in that well? Was it dark and murky? Did she see a reflection of herself? Did she pause as it might have been midday, try to relax and take a moment for herself of spiritual time? Did she ever wonder, how did I get here? What happened? Jesus gave her a clear view of herself. Jesus reflected what was good about her. Jesus unlocked her potential to share the good news, to bring about a whole town to believe in Jesus over a few days. When we look at this story and read back on it, we imagine a woman who must have been promiscuous. She's had 5 husbands, and the one that she's living with now is not her husband. But most likely, scholars believe that she was a victim of circumstance. You see, in the laws of Hebrew life, if you were widowed, or if your husband decided to divorce you, it was incumbent upon another family member, a male family member, to take you in, maybe even marry you, a brother. And so perhaps, most likely, she was in that situation, as women did not have the right to divorce. See, we read a book by its cover. We read a book by today's standards, our own standards. We project upon this woman that she must have been of poor character. And we reflect poorly on her. But Jesus saw her for what she truly was. She had warts. Jesus asked her a question, perhaps to test her. Go back to your husband. She admits that she has none. And she has changed. Or perhaps she is simply the veils lifted off of her. The darkness fades away and she can be who she truly was meant to be. All of us have a come to Jesus moment, if we dare take it, to look into the mirror that God is putting up in front of us. It's beautiful. It's a beautifully made glass. There's a crack in it. We have faults. We have imperfections. But we have beauty as well. Might be hard to come to that well. Maybe she knew who Jesus was. Maybe she dreaded going to that well and talking to a strange man, a teacher from Galilee, a miracle worker. But she had to go. She needed water. You can't survive without water. So she goes and has perhaps an uncomfortable conversation. But oh, was it satisfying for her? Yes. Was it redemptive for her? Yes. Was she accepted? Yes. Were her needs met? Yes. You're invited to come to the well this morning. Come, look upon the waters. Come, be fed. Come, receive true spiritual water, the kind that does not run out. Step out of that hall of self-reflecting mirrors, of all these things that we put on ourselves when we look at ourselves in the mirror. Sometimes those mirrors revolve around and round in circles, and we come back to those same things that we tell ourselves or what other people have told us about ourselves. Don't believe it. Don't believe it. Let God determine your worth. Let God determine your worth, not what other people say. Break free from your past. A Franciscan sister, in as early as the 12th century, so pretty ancient times, she said these wise words. St. Clare of Assisi, she's known as, she said, she used to tell the young women under her care to, quote, place yourself in front of the light. Let the light mirror you, she said. Look upon the mirror of perfect love. Every day when you wake up, look upon that mirror of perfect love that God is setting in front of you. The best gifts about ourselves are always reflected gifts. They're always reflected gifts. The best spiritual gifts that we have in life are always reflected gifts that we have from Jesus Christ. And we all have them. Every year at this time, we try and find new officers to serve our church. One new elder, one new trustee, two new deacons. 90% of the time, people tell us, well, we do not believe we are qualified. We do not believe we have what it takes to serve. We don't believe that we're good enough. Well, doggone it, you are. You are good enough. You are smart enough, and doggone it, God loves you. Let us sing in praise of the good news.